welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. But just before we get started, I've got community announcement file, and you need to act on this pretty quick. And maybe the young people aren't listening, but maybe mum and dad or maybe grandpa and grandpa. But we're calling all local musicians between the age of 13 and 25. If you want to perform in a youth concert, which will be held on Friday the 15th of September, 5 p.m. at ECOS in Westburn. They're seeking bands, singers, instrumentalists, duos, trios and all genres. But you need to contact youthconcert23@gmail.com. That's youthconcert, all one word, 23@gmail.com. You can ask any questions or express an interest, but you need to get moving. Because to be considered, you need to email a recording of your music, voice memo and your phone, or a phone video is fine. But please also include your name, performance name and a brief description of your musical style. But submissions must be in by the 23rd, so you've only got 2 days, and that's for the Victorian Fest 2023. So get into it pretty quick. But as I said, it's time for Community Connections. I have with me today both Chris and Murray from the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Alan. Pleased to be here.
Great to have you. Now, Chris, I know we've had you in before and we know Murray, but let's talk about you first of all. I think it was about a year ago we had you in. So has there been any major developments in CBs and ham radio in that 12 months? Is there any improved equipment on the market or anything that's happened at all, Chris?
Well, that's a good question. A couple of good questions, Alan. There are changes happening all the time with amateur radio, and we're in the process of going through a reasonably major one as far as qualifications and examinations and for licensing.
For the person who wants to... is it for CB or
no, this is for ham radio rather than CB, or for people who are currently doing CB radio who want to get into something with a bit more versatility, some more range and the ability to perhaps make overseas contacts as well as within Victoria and Australia. So there are some fairly major changes in that area coming up early next year, about the middle of February, where the company that's now doing our examinations is pulling back out of it, and it's all going back to the ACMA, and the whole process will change.
It'll
make it quicker. I don't think it'll make any harder or any easier. I don't think there'll be any change in the difficulty. Right. The qualification requirements will stay the same. It'll just be a different way of doing it. It will certainly be quicker because at the moment we have to submit the exams back to the AMC in Tasmania. They do the marking and then send the results to ACMA, and it takes about 15 working days at both locations, so you're looking at 30 days plus to get a licence. With the new process where the examiners will mark the exam on the spot and send the result to ACMA, it could be as little as 2 weeks, depending on how busy they are and et cetera.
So will it all be online, Chris, or...?
Well, no. The examinations will be downloaded by the examiner and printed, and they'll have to be done at an appropriate venue, right, with appropriate supervision. But that will be much the same as it is now, apart from the fact that we can get the papers up to an hour or even less perhaps before the person wants to do the exam. If we've got internet connection, we can download an exam.
Right.
So that'll be quicker. There'll be some speed up in processes. I think it's going to be better all over for everybody, the changes, and the changes in licensing, because it's going from it's going to a class license similar to CB, but you still need the qualification and the license before you can operate the radios legally, unless you've got an amateur radio operator with you who's qualified and can supervise.
So when you talk about the changes, are they only for CB or for the ham radio?
Only for ham radio. Only ham radio. CB will stay pretty much as it is. I haven't seen anything about CB changing. I think that'll continue the way it is for foreseeable future at least.
All right, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Conversation, a little more action, please. You're of LAFM 99.1, baby.
Welcome back to Community Connections. We're talking to the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group, and now we've got Murray. Now, we know Murray well. Murray's been involved with this station ever since about day one, and I think he was the first presenter, and his daughter was very early in the piece. Murray, just tell us a little bit about ham radio. I know the person that fills in now and again on a Wednesday morning between 9 and 12. They pay this Tony Hancock's the ham radio, which is a joke, and it's a half-hour show. But just to give us a bit of an idea, like, he talks in that about people talking to people overseas about the weather, and then he's playing chess with somebody else, and then he gets involved with the Mayday call. Now, I know that's just as a radio show, but is that the sort of stuff that you people get involved with too, Murray?
Yes, yeah, we do. We do a lot of competitions, this sort of thing as well.
What sort of competition?
Radio competitions, where they're doing how many people you can contact in a certain amount of time. Like on Anzac Day, one of them.
There was one last weekend, but the weekend before, it was a competition that was on for in 2 hour sessions, and it's just a matter of making the contacts, and it's all really short communications. Just a handshake.
Yeah. So you get their call signs, register it, and then you try to get as many contacts you can during those set period of 2 hours.
So Murray, if you go home tonight, we'll say that I know you're a busy man, and we should mention that you're also one of our sponsors, CECOM. When you go home tonight, and you've been a long-term sponsor too, I must say, And you had 4 hours to spend tonight. What would you do on the ham radio in those 4 hours?
When I do turn it on, normally talk.
Yeah.
I haven't been on air, to be honest, for about the last 2 years, just because of work commitments and sort of thing.
Yeah.
I quite often talk to people overseas, New Zealand overseas and sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
I've still got some contacts that I still contact that my dad used to have as well.
They're getting fairly old. Into it as well.
Yeah, my dad was a radio pioneer.
Yeah.
He invented the electric fencer and stock prod and manufactured radios for the Country Fire Authority and all sort of thing as well.
Where was he based, Murray?
Originally started a shop in Brighton when he was 16, or 15 he started the shop, yeah. Making radio receivers and crystal sets and selling them.
Yeah.
He then, when he turned 16, decided he wanted to get his ham radio licence. So what he did was went into the GPO in the city, got there at 9 o'clock, did his exam. He finished it and got a 100% pass. It's the first time they'd ever had someone get in there with a full 100% pass on Morse as well as...
Fair dinkum, yeah.
First time they'd ever had someone do that. Because back then there was not many people into radio.
Yeah.
He then had his hopped back on his on the train back to home. Hopped on his push bike from the train station, drove back, rode his bike back to the farm where my grandmother was, and remarkably, within sort of 5 minutes, he'd built a transmitter and built a receiver and put all the aerials up, and he was on air. And his first call he actually contacted was a guy in America. The very first call, but of course, then you weren't allowed to come up on air until you had your ham radio licence, of course, and he'd already been unofficially sort of talking on the radio anyway, which some people do.
Testing,
that's right.
Testing, yeah.
And then he went on from there and then moved to Horsham in about 19, in the early 30s, started a factory up there making radios and sort of thing, and then on top of that... he also had 3TA with the course line, was on the amateur course line, was used for on the broadcast band as a test transmission on AM. And I've got letters and bits and pieces in here I can show you too.
Yeah, yeah.
The logbooks and letters even from Sabir over in Wooralek that were actually in Wandon that were actually listening to it and got letters from there saying listen to the program sort of thing. So
and that was a proper radio station you mean, or just a...
Yep, no, it was an AM radio station, just operated from home.
Yep.
And he transmitted, he had a lot of enthusiasts listening to it because back then there's not a lot of radios around listening. Yep. So he went from there, yeah.
So it was it wouldn't have been commercial radio he was doing, would it? Or
no, no, it was just playing music and announcements. That's all it was. Right. Just playing music and announcements.
And how many hours a week was he on air with that?
They're only allowed to do it about, I think it was 4 hours every fortnight or something like that.
Gee.
On the AM band, yeah.
All right, so, we'll just take another quick break and be back with more.
Wild men sing. Only fools rushing, and I came here falling in love with you. Thank you.
Listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 29 minutes past 12, 11 degrees, and we're aiming for 14. I'll tell you more about the weather straight after 1 o'clock news. Murray, so your father has built radios and done all that sort of stuff, so you've followed quite along after your dad, and you've just shown me a radio that you were actually built when you were doing your apprenticeship. What made you get involved with Yarra Valley FM? And I know you were right here from the start, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yep. Howard actually, firstly on radio side, because when we should go away on holidays and sort of thing, I used to sit in the front seat of the old Rover that Dad had, and I'd be calling CQ on the radio while we're driving along, and then to try and get contacts for him, and then he'd hand the radio microphone over to him and he'd talk to people while we're driving.
But can I just stop you there? So about how old were you at that stage, Murray?
Five or six.
So was there many CBs?
CBs weren't about.
What about ham radio?
There was a lot of ham radios around at that time, yes. Yep. Back then they were only valve radios, sort of 5-6 watts of power in AM. Mainly used to use 7 megs. And he used to always be on 7070 was the frequency that he used to always use.
Yep.
And we used to travel around everywhere, and the rest of the family was quite often used the radio too, calling and sort of thing. But it was great times.
Yep.
But I got involved in the radios because Dad was involved.
Yep.
He wanted me to do my radio apprenticeship, which I did. I left school when I was 15. And did my apprenticeship and then went to RMIT and finished off thing there. And went from there. And then as far as the radio side goes, we had a family business building radio towers for radio stations like 3KZ, the 4BU, Bundaberg, AM radio stations everywhere. And I used to build all the aerial tuning units and coupling units for all the transmitters. And I used to travel all over Australia putting all those in as well.
Yep. So then what got you involved with Yarra Valley?
Well, I actually got a call about 2 weeks before the 150th celebration with the Shire.
Oh, yeah.
And the then Shire assistant engineer, Jeff Walker, rang me and said, "Look, we've got a bit of a problem. The guy that's organising the transmitter for us," he said, "he hasn't got a transmitter, hasn't got an aerial, he's got some studio gear, but can you see if you can organise it for us?" It's about a fortnight beforehand.
Yeah. So, a bit of pressure.
Yeah. So, yeah, we organised an aerial that was built for us specially, and I think it was 106.5 was the frequency that was issued. I managed to get a lend of a transmitter from Public Broadcast Association. We got it all set up, had the transmitter all ready to go, and then this guy pulled the pin at the last minute and walked out of the Shire. So we didn't have any studio gear, didn't have any microphones, didn't have any equipment like that, so we then sent my ex-wife down to Tandy, got a mixer, bits and pieces, put it all together.
Fair digger.
We were to go to air at 11 o'clock and we're on air at about 11:05. And, yeah, went from there.
And where was that?
And that was actually in a little building up on top of Cornish Basin, on top of Mount Riddell Road, the water tower there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's a radio tower and a small communications building, and the Shire had their radio gear in there as well, yeah. And which I used to maintain.
Yeah.
And we went from there in that little building. If you want to change your mind, you had to go outside the building first, change your mind, then come back in again.
That's it.
It wasn't much bigger than a toilet.
Well, you finished up in the ladies' toilets, didn't you?
We did. We went from there for the first couple of test transmissions. We then went to a caravan that was given to us by, I think it was Sheen Panels or someone like that.
Right.
We used that as a mobile studio. And then we went from there, we went to down the bottom of Grandma's Kitchen in Healesville.
Yeah.
Had a studio we built there. And then we moved from there to the radio station, to the railway station, I'd say.
Which was
into
the
ladies' toilets.
The old ladies' toilets.
Yeah, and we moved into there because it was a bit more room, a bit more better facilities than down the other place.
Yep.
A bit more central and plenty of spot for people to park and this sort of thing as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you've just stayed part of Yarra Valley right through the whole, through Woori Alec and back here and all that sort of stuff. That's terrific.
And I've been a sponsor virtually from the, from the second test transmission, because the first test transmission was actually the Shire.
Yep.
And then I looked after all 13 test transmissions to get the station up and air.
Yep.
We did the, and it was quite funny, the way we actually got the station on air at the time.
Yep.
Was that we, I had the transmitter and the link and everything else all set up at the railway station, and the inspector came down from Canberra, have a look at all the gear, and he said, why isn't this at the transmitter side? I said, well, let's do all our measurements here, and then we'll just pick up the transmitter and amplifier, take it to the top of the mountain, hook up the link receiver and everything else as well, just do the final test there. Oh, we've never done that before, and I said, well, is there any reason why we can't? And he said, no. So we did that.
Yeah.
And we had the whole thing finished and complete. He'd allowed 3 days to do it.
Right.
The first day we were just doing the setup. By 1 o'clock we had it all set up ready to go on air, which he allowed us to do. And we got it up on air at 1 o'clock, virtually as a permanent station. Then we went out and did all the tests for signal tests around everywhere.
Right.
And then after that, he said, well, I'm finished here. He said, I've never done this. He said, I've allowed 3 days. He said, where's the best fishing spot? And I said, Eildon, up to Eildon Pondage. And so he went up there for a couple of days. And then he came back and dropped off a couple of fish to me and this sort of thing as well.
And signed off, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, signed it off, yeah.
Gee, that's terrific. All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Passing my garden one time, she stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip and not flowers that she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say: you know that girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. She knows not to speak to my child and me. My neighbor then smiled, and I thought, speeded by, and the screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. For my neighbor's one child had been dragged from its path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, "Oh, who was that brave girl so sweet?" I covered the crushed, broken body and said, "The bad girl who lived down the street."
So unless you've made no mistakes in your life, just be careful of stones that you throw.
I'm talking to both Chris and Murray from the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group, and we've heard a fascinating history of Murray and his life through radio, and it's absolutely fascinating. Chris, let's just talk a little bit about CB. I know you are involved with CB as well, aren't you?
I have been involved in CB in the past. I don't really have much to do with it now.
Oh, don't
but,
you? Oh,
but, well. But you know, the knowledge is still there, I hope.
Well, that actually kills my next question, because I was going to ask you how much time you'd spend on CB and why do you use it? I know the truckies use it all the time.
Yeah, all right. I do. I've got an old Philips CB bolted up under the shelf at home with no power connected to it at the moment. So I do have a CB still.
Yep.
And I'll often, during school holidays and things like that, when people are heading out, I'll often put power onto it and an antenna and sit on the highway channel 40, so that I can pass advice on. But to be perfectly honest, I don't listen to it very much.
Don't you?
I can listen to the CB channels on my amateur radio.
Right.
But it's just really now, having been involved with ham radio for, well, it's only 5 years.
Right.
It's only 5 years that I've been licensed. Previous to that, I've worked with other licensed amateurs doing stuff. Since I really got involved with ham radio, I haven't done much on CB at all.
Well, I was just going to ask you, and you could probably still answer this. I mean, CB, that the truckies use it, A, to keep themselves awake, they tell me overnight.
Yep.
Some of them get... And some of them use it to be told where the speed cameras are. And
exactly.
And they always know the best place to buy a coffee. They know the best place to
grab a feed.
And I know they do contact each other a lot. But is that the main uses for CB?
Well, there's 80 channels available on CB now, of which two channels are reserved for telemetry, so you're not allowed to use voice on it. And there are 16 repeaters. Right. So, there's 16 channels that are that can be used for repeaters.
Right.
Now, of course, the most important one of those, from an emergency point of view, is the 5 and 35 repeater, which there are quite a number around Australia. The nearest one to us is down in Mount Anarchy in Geelong.
Right.
Which you can get to from a few places in the eastern suburbs, but once you get past about Mitcham, it's pretty flaky. Oh.
So that's usually mainly for emergencies?
But that's used for emergency calls. It can be used for public safety as well.
Right.
But it's actually an offence to transmit on those frequencies if you don't have an appropriate call to make. Yeah. So a public safety call or an emergency call... if you don't have that, then it's an offence.
All right. So if you've got one of your members that are more onto CB, if they had a bit like I asked Murray, what if you had an hour or two to start tonight? What would you be doing? What would you be listening to? And who the sort of people you'd be talking to?
Well, the sort of person I could be talking to could be anybody. It could be anybody in the street. You never know who's going to be a CB. There are lots of people out there who use CB radio.
Yep.
Just in a lot of respects, a similar way that, to the way we use amateur radio, just to make contact with people. There are a lot of people out there who don't have great social life and yeah. great numbers of friends, and that yeah. CB radio is their contact with the world in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good tool in that for those people who just a bit shut in or something like that, who want to make contact with people. It's good for them. And, you know, there's rat bags out there. There are people who get abusive, as you'd find everywhere in the world. Everywhere you go in the world, there are people who get abusive, people that just want to put you down for being on the radio.
All right, so you've got a CB at your home. How far would you expect to be able to talk to people?
Well, the UHF CB, depending on where you're located, if you're high up on a hill, like the same as with an FM transmission, if you're high up on a hill, you're going to cover more ground than you are if you're in a valley.
50 kilometres.
So we're talking probably a maximum of about 20 with UHF.
Right.
Unless you use a repeater, in which case you're governed by what the repeater covers. And as I said, the one on Mount Anarchy can get into Mitcham.
Right.
So that's the other side of Geelong. Yeah. But it's probably 30 watts, whereas the CB is 4 or 5. So it's got a lot more power and the height.
I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
No, what was it?
You don't know how to sing.
Ba 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 ba. You got me rockin' and a rollin', rockin' and a reelin', bobberin', ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba.
You got
try it once more.
One more time. It's more artistic flavor.
You got me rocking.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Murray and Chris from the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group. And if we've inspired you and you want to do more about it, well, Chris will give you the contact details very soon. Murray, out of all the calls that you've made, because you're on ham radio too, aren't you?
I am, yes, yeah.
What would you classify as the best sort of outcome you've had out of that? Have you been involved with any rescues or anything?
I have years ago with a rescue up in a four-wheel drive that had tipped over. He actually had a ham radio, and I was actually talking to him. It was up the back of Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
And it was late at night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I heard this call. Managed to get the police and everything organised for him.
Terrific.
So it was just fortunate I was on that, scanning around at the time. And
I was going to say, what made you be on at 1 o'clock? Did you just have it turned on all the time?
I had it turned on and was on scan, and I was just working in the workshop doing some radio work.
Gee. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, back in the days when CB was a big hobby, we used to be involved with an organisation that's still around called Crest. And I was the state operations director for a while. And on the Ash Wednesday fires, we were involved with a number of calls.
Oh, were you?
My wife's taken a couple of calls from some very serious car accidents and passed those on to the authorities. So, yeah, we've been involved in quite a number of things like that.
So there's obviously a real need for them too, isn't there?
Yeah. With the advent of everybody having a mobile phone, it's not as important as it was, but it's still a good adjunct to have if you're out on the road, to have a radio in the car. Yep.
All my vehicles are fitted with the UHF-CB.
Are they?
Yep. And the reason mainly is because, like, we've got trucks and sort of thing as well.
Yep.
And we have the UHF-CB in those mainly to talk to other truckies, because you'll be going along and you'll see something that's wrong with a truck or a strap come undone. You can call them on the radio and they appreciate that you've told them we see a flat tyre, that sort of thing. And, like, I just did an 800K trip last weekend up to the other side of Wagga and back. And we were actually just near Albury, and a car went past four-wheel drive with a caravan, and he had a flat tyre on the caravan. Tandem drive, and called him and said, "Oh, thanks, mate." So he pulled over, and
so
that was just a simple thing. But again, it's, you know.
So how did you know what channel he was on? Or
the highway channel 40, and 99% of people on the highway will use channel 40.
Oh, so that's really only dedicated for the highway,
for
is it?
Highway truckies channel.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, and I believe, and am I right when I said before that I know it gets very lonely at night with these truckies, that some of them do use it to sort of keep themselves awake, not so much awake, but alert?
They do, yes. You can get quite often, you know, they'll also know someone going back the other way with different lights on the truck or something, and you'll hear them talk and say, you know, "G'day, Bob, g'day, Chris," or whatever it is, and sort of thing, so they get to know each other like that, travelling back and forth.
Yeah, of course. I mean, some of those guys do Melbourne to Sydney so many times. Like, it is just boring, isn't it?
It is, and especially when you start doing long hours on trucks. I've been there, done that.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Had a road train licence in South Australia, 250-ton, five-trailer.
Five-trailer?
Yeah.
How'd you get them rolling?
Push. Put into gear and just put you going. But, yeah, but maximum speed, 38 mile an hour.
Maximum speed?
Yep.
How?
Back then it was. A bit different now.
How many? What would be the size of the motor?
The one I was driving had two trucks, different ones I was driving. One was a Inter with a V8 in it.
But how big's a V8?
About 7 litres, 7-8 litre. But the thing is the gearing, because it's only very low speed, so you've got the gearing down low. And the other one was a 6x6 Mack.
Oh, right. Yeah. How long did you do that, Murray?
On and off for about 2 years.
Geez, you've had an interesting background.
Well, that was delivering towers up through all up through the Simpson Desert and all up through there.
So it,
remember gas fields.
It wasn't carting cattle and all that sort of stuff.
No, this actually was all just all the radio towers and sort of thing.
Oh,
but
right.
When you got five trailer, they automatically gave you a license of 250 ton. And I used to not often pull out of Peterborough with that much weight, but you know, it'd be sometimes it might be 80 ton, 100 ton.
Gee.
But you know, you decide to pull up, well, you've got to make sure you've got sort of half a kilometre ahead of you.
What was the most desolate place that you had to put up a tower?
Oh.
Were they all out the back?
A lot of them were out the back of Mount Tom Price and all over and through the back area of that area right. For their communications for the train, for all the trains all up through there.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris, we've been talking a lot about the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group. Just for anybody who's interested, the sort of cost to join and how they're going to find out more about you.
Okay, well, the club is our annual fee is $50, $40 for concessional members. Which went up last year, I think, from memory. So you can find us on the internet at Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group.org.au. You can contact me on my mobile number, which is on that website, or at my club email, which is president at YVARG, that's Yankee Victor Alpha Romeo Golf.org.au. So that's probably any of those would suffice.
Chris, do you have monthly meetings and that where you get together and talk? Or?
We get together a couple of times a month. Sometimes we just sit around and chat and have a pizza or something and just chew the fat. Other times we'll have one of the club members or somebody from outside come and talk to us about something that might be interesting, some novel things that are happening in radio. A lot of us are starting to work on digital radio and getting people in to talk about that's really fascinating
is
stuff.
Ham radio going to have to go down that track?
No, not at all. No. Not at all.
I'll stay with
no them. We'll stay with single sideband and FM and PSK and Ready and
all those
things.
But the main thing is you're not going to go digital.
No, well, it's an option. It's not going to be compulsory.
I'll ask the two of you the same question. Obviously, ham radio over the years has improved as far as equipment we're talking about now. Yes. So is there continual development work being done or do you see the receivers and the transmitters you've got now probably going to be the same transmitter in, say, 5 years' time?
Look, there's a lot of stuff being done in amateur radio. There's a lot of research and development being done. There are a lot of guys out there who are amateur radio operators who are very, very smart cookies with electronics who are making some amazing changes with software. And software-defined radios are really coming into their own. They're amazing pieces of equipment. Murray?
Yeah, one of the things also that when I went to get my licence in 86 after my father passed away because I wanted to get his actual call sign. Which was 3TA, and I wanted to hang on to that. So I had to go and sit my exam, which I've been reluctant to do. But I had to get that done within 6 months from his passing. Yeah. And one of those things was to get my Morse code. I had practised Morse code and done it for years, and I got a phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, "You still coming for this exam today?" And I thought, "Oh, that's today. I thought it was next week." So I jumped in the car, listened to a tape on the way in, had three goes at Morse and got pinged on it, so it was all good. Got it done. But there's programs now that you can actually get, that you can actually have voice recognition that'll actually turn your words to Morse code and transmit it out. And the same is coming in. It'll actually come up on a screen of a computer and it can be Morse code and it'll come up and give you the written message on the screen.
Gee,
so there's been a lot of advances in that over the years, but I still like to, you know, my dad would probably turn over in his grave if he knew that I hadn't done any Morse code since I got my licence. But
I guess the other thing too, and I've got to go in about 30 seconds' time. I guess transmitters and receivers would have got a lot smaller as they got into transistors and all that.
Yep.
As, I mean, I know what you brought in is all valves.
Yes.
Well, as they've got more and more things, that you'd have got a lot smaller, wouldn't you?
Yes, there is, and a lot of it now are microprocessors, and they're getting smaller and smaller each time. And power-wise, it's still the same. You've still got the restrictions on power that you can use.
Yep.
So, you know, they just made them in a smaller size.
That's done by the government, is it?
Regulations, yeah.
All right, guys, it's been a fascinating interview, and Murray's background, I'd like to talk a bit more about Murray one day, about his whole life, because I think there's a terrific story to be told there. But thanks for coming in, guys. The group was the Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group, and if you're interested in that at all, let's get hold of them and find out a bit more about them. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Simon.